We begin this season of Advent with the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 21, where Jesus is entering into Jerusalem with the purpose of going to his death for your salvation and my salvation. So we begin Advent when we're waiting for Jesus to be born in the manger. We begin with thinking about the end, the purpose of why he came here at all, to suffer and die for our salvation. And that's exactly what he had determined that he was going to do when he entered into Jerusalem on that day, to the shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David. He entered in order to die. He comes in humbly. Just as he entered into this world humbly as a baby, he marches into Jerusalem humbly in order to take on our sin and win your salvation. And this statement is true for those people then, and it's true for you today as well. Behold, your king is coming to you. Behold, your king is coming to you. That's the message that our text has for us today from Matthew chapter 1. Your king is coming to you when he marched into Jerusalem in order to die for your salvation, and he also is coming to you today. He comes to you, and how he meets you now in his word and in his sacraments, and behold, he is coming again soon to take you home to be with himself. Behold, your king is coming to you. Coming to you when he came on earth to win your salvation. Coming to you now in the gifts he gives to his church of the word and the sacraments, and coming soon to judge both the living and the dead and to take you home to be with himself in heaven. At Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, came to us as a little baby to win our salvation. And I want you to think for a second just how amazing that is. We all know the story, so sometimes it just flies right over our heads when we hear it again, but I want you to just think about how amazing this is. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one through whom all things were made in this entire universe, becomes one of you, takes on human flesh, wants to be so near you that he becomes your brother according to the flesh. And not only this, but he allows himself to be born as a little baby, grow up in the same way that each and every one of us did. And not only this, but he's born humbly in a manger because there was no room in the inn. And you can see this as the model for how Jesus is going to live the rest of his entire life, in humble obedience. Humbly doing what he was called to do with the purpose always before him of winning your salvation. So how does he enter into Jerusalem on that day? Does he come in with mighty war horse and chariot? No. He comes humbly mounted on a donkey. And this is a symbol of exactly what he came to do. Obeying his Father's will to win your salvation. Willingly and obediently submitting himself to death in order that he might die your death, might die in your place in order that he might take his life up again in the resurrection and win your salvation. So think about your king coming to you humbly. And why does he do it? It's all for you, to win your life and to win your salvation. Think about this in the season of Advent and as you approach Christmas, how much Jesus loves you, that he was willing to go through so much for you. And our Lord doesn't just stop there, but he wants to continually be near you. That same love that motivated him to come near to you when he took on human flesh and then took on your sin and won your salvation, that same love makes him want to be with you now forever. Sometimes we think that when Jesus ascended into heaven, that means that he's now really far away from us and we have no way of accessing him. But that really couldn't be farther from the truth. He is with you always as he has promised. He told his disciples, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." And he told his disciples, "Whoever hears you, hears me." So what does that mean for us? When we hear the scriptures, when we hear the Old Testament and the New Testament, the words of the prophets and the words of the apostles that Jesus has sent, we hear him. Like St. Paul says in 2 Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God. Not just some ordinary word, not just the words of random men, the words of the scriptures are the word of God. So behold, your king is coming to you. He came to you in the flesh to win your salvation, and he comes to you now when he speaks to you through his word. Think about what a treasure that is. That not only has your king come to you in the form of a little baby in order to win your salvation, but he continues to want to speak to you, to tell you that you are loved, to tell you that you are forgiven, to tell you that he has won your salvation and he is coming soon. How else does Jesus come to you? How else does he want to be near you? In baptism, he has joined you to himself. This is what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. When you had the water sprinkled on your head, maybe when you were a baby or maybe when you were older, this wasn't just some ordinary event or symbol that didn't really matter. This was God joining himself to you. That's what he was just promising in Romans chapter 6. That when you are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you receive forgiveness, you receive life, you receive salvation, and every good thing that God wants to give you. He's taking you and making you his own. He is coming to you in the water and in the word, and he comes to you today whenever you remember your baptism. Whenever you remember that God made you his own on that day, he comes to you. And then Jesus also comes to you today on the altar. When he makes himself available for you to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins. And once again, this is not just some insignificant symbol or something that we do just, I don't know, because Jesus told us to and it makes us feel good. No, it's something we do because he has promised to be there through it. What did he say? This is my body, this is my blood. And when he says, this is my body, this is my blood, he is offering you that when you receive it in the Lord's Supper, you receive everything that his body and his blood, which were broken and shed on the cross, won for you. And what did he win on the cross? Forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for you. So that is what you are guaranteed to receive when you receive the body and the blood in the Lord's Supper. You receive forgiveness, you receive life, you receive salvation. Think about all these things. And think about all the gracious ways that your God wants to be near you and with you and keep reassuring you that you have salvation and life and forgiveness. He doesn't want to just remain far off and let you figure it out all on your own. He comes to you to win your salvation when he came as a baby. He entered into Jerusalem. Your king is coming to you to win salvation. And then your king is coming to you day after day after day in the word and in the sacraments, giving you that very forgiveness again and again and again. I think it's so fitting. Maybe you've noticed this before, but when we sing the Sanctus, right before we receive the Lord's Supper, what are some of the words in there? Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. In that song, the Sanctus, we took the song that they were singing to Jesus when he was marching into Jerusalem, and we sing it to him as he comes to us to offer his body and blood. What a fitting thing to say. Because Hosanna just means save us now. And that is always our prayer to Jesus, that he would continue to come to us to give us life, salvation, forgiveness, and every good thing. Save us now. And he has also promised that he is coming soon. He is coming soon on the last day when he will raise the dead, judge both the living and the dead, and take all who believe in him home to be with himself forever. And he promises to be with you until that day, giving you his word, giving you his forgiveness. But the day is coming soon when he comes to take you home to be with himself, as he has promised. So cling to the things that he has given you and put away the things that distract you from that. This is what St. Paul was saying in Romans chapter 13. Wake from sleep. Don't be caught up in all these sinful pleasures of this world that really only take you away from God, but only focus on the word and the gifts that your king comes to give you. Because behold, he is coming soon. Your king comes to you in so many miraculous ways, coming to you in the flesh to die for you, to rise again, to win your salvation. He comes to you day after day after day in the word and in the sacraments that he gives to his church, where he wants to join you to himself. And he has promised, behold, I am coming soon. And until we wait for that day, until that day finally comes, we continue to cling to those gifts that he gives to his church. Because in all these ways, and at the end of time, your king is coming to you, in order that you might have life with him forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.